And the first week I was in Atlanta, after about 3 days, I found a job as a waitress.
Oh.
In a place called Bradshaw Steakhouse and Grill. It was a 24-hour restaurant. And I worked there.
Did you work odd hours?
At first I worked day shift, and then I worked like everybody else's day. So they would have a day off.
Oh, you were like the filling, the extra person.
Yeah. And then, but it was in 19... Was it 60 or 61 when Kennedy... I remember when Kennedy got killed.
Oh, that was in 63.
Was it 63?
Yeah. He took office, you know, in January 61.
And I remember the day, you know, whenever it come on the radio and when everybody come running in.
Were you working?
I was working. And everybody come... I mean, people come in off the streets saying the president's been killed. And it was just like... It was like everybody was in total shock. Mm-hmm. It was like, you didn't know what to say. And everybody was sad. And it's just, because really, I guess that had never happened in our lifetime, And I worked in... That was in November of 63.
Mm-hmm.
And I had met my husband in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit my job.
Did you meet him in Atlanta? No, I met him.
When I came home from Atlanta, I met him. He come by to see my brother.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they had been brother-in-laws before.
Oh, yeah.
See? And he was divorced. And me and my girlfriend was home visiting for the weekend. And he was going back to Atlanta. And we usually rode the Greyhound bus back to Atlanta.
Oh.
No, it was the Trailways bus.
Whatever.
Yeah. It was the Trailways bus. And he offered to let us ride back to Atlanta with him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was a boy.
Yeah. So he took my girlfriend to her apartment. And then... He took me out to eat. And so I started dating. And then on December 14th of 1963, we married.
Oh, so y'all didn't date long.
Uh-uh.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Oh. Working in a restaurant, was there any of the racial problem? I mean, you know. Would you deny, did y'all deny service like to a black person? Or did any blacks ever even come in?
Blacks worked there, but no black person
ever
nobody ever came in.
No.
So
you wouldn't know what to do?
No.
If a black people.
Well, see, whenever we lived in, you know, all my life, I had lived in Cherokee County, and nobody ever even, you didn't think of. It just was
like blacks and whites from the
black
same place.
And white in the same place. I worked with black people at the restaurant, but they were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I liked them. We had fun together. We cut up and joked, and I thought a lot of them, and they did me too. We were friends, but I had never even been around black people until I went to Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Never. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you would see them on the street. When you went to town at Canton.
Those few times.
The few times we got to go to town. And, but I never had any friends till I went to Atlanta, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people I worked with were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, the one time I had quit my job as a waitress and went to work at Macy's department store at Christmas time. Wrapping packages and worked during Christmas, and then my boss from the restaurant asked me to come back to work for him.
Oh.
So I quit and went back. But when I worked at Macy's, I waited on a lot of black people, you know, wrapping packages for them and stuff like that. But there wasn't any racial tension then. I But later on, a little later on, is when it really, the racial tension got started.
I remember, and I was going to put it, I have a chronology here, and I was going to have to look it up, because I remember Lester Maddox and his axe handles,
I remember.
But I can't remember exactly the year. It was before he was governor,
yeah.
And he was elected governor in 66, so it had to be around maybe 64, 65, somewhere around there.
I can remember my daddy talking about Lester Maddox and his axe handles. And my daddy, although he really never had been around any blacks that much, he would, I remember him making the remark to my sister-in-law, which was from New Mexico, that his grandkids would not go to school with blacks.
Oh, really?
But,
so he thought.
And but, so she said, but she told him, oh, yes, they will. And it was because they was just, it was just raised that way. Mm-hmm. We never had been around black people.
Separate apart.
Yeah. And like I say, all during that time, I never ever thought about being prejudiced or nothing myself, because, I made friends with everybody. And then,
let's see.
What do you mean?
Oh, when you got married in December?
I got married in December 63. '63.
So y'all moved back to Cherokee County?
No, we lived in Atlanta.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
We lived in Atlanta.
I was thinking you moved back
there. And what was called Little Five Points.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my first son was born in September of '64.
So that was in Atlanta, too?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
He was born in Georgia Baptist Hospital in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yes.
And the same doctors that delivered my sons. And
the
Bartholomew group. Yeah. And my second son was born in '66, Scott.
Were y'all still in Atlanta?
We were still in Atlanta. Same doctor, same hospital, St. George Baptist Hospital. And we lived in Atlanta till, Scott was.
Well, at one point you moved out to Dorval.
Which is a suburb of Atlanta. And we lived there till Scott was probably 4 or 5. Steve started school at Peachtree Elementary School.
He went
1 year at Peachtree Elementary School, and then Lamar built a cabinet shop up here in Ball Ground.
So I didn't move back here till like 70.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like, well, it must have been 69 because I think this house was built in 71 or 72. My mother died in 72, I believe.
Oh.
So Steve was in second grade when we moved here.
Mm.
And so we moved. He was in the cabinet shop business for 2 or 3 years. And then he went to work at George Marble.
Now, how long did he work there?
He worked at George Marble probably, probably 6 or 7 months. Then he got a job part-time as a mail carrier. And he worked out in the plant at George Marble. They offered him a job because he was trained as a draftsman and always did that kind of work. And he went to work at the Georgia Marble office in Smyrna and worked there probably 3 years. And whenever the sort of like a recession came, he got laid off from working there. And he went back to work doing designing electrical switch boxes for ITE Circuit Breaker in Atlanta.
Oh.
And he worked there probably 2 or 3 years, and then he worked as an insurance salesman and we really went broke when he did that. And then he started to work at Lockheed.
And that was
in 79.
Oh, okay.
He started to work at Lockheed in 79 and worked there till 86.
When he got sick.
And when he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. But he was sick.
He was sick
probably 7 or 8 years before they ever knew what was wrong with him.
You think it was that long?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was, because his eyesight had gotten bad.
Mm-hmm.
And his balance had gotten real bad. But he worked at Lockheed till December of 22nd of 86. And he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in January of 87.
Mm.
And his health has deteriorated fast since then. And now he's been on Social Security since 87.
Mm.
That's our primary source of income. That's a small pension he gets from Lockheed.
He does get something from Lockheed.
Yeah,
but he wasn't really there.
He was there 8 years, but with the Lockheed contract, the way it was, they would have to carry you 4 years before they, they could let you go. So after 2 years, they gave him a 10-year retirement, which gave him a small pension plus his insurance.
Mm.
And that's how we live now.
Mm.
And our sons, our youngest son's married, been married 3 years, and our oldest son is engaged to be married in September of this year. And both sons help out financially, and they help out with their daddies, looking after their daddy. I have home help that comes in 7 days a week.
Oh, they come every day?
They come every day to give him his bath and make his bed and do everything for him. Mostly what I do is he's like caring for a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change his diapers. He wears diapers and fix his food and just take care of him, in that way. And he entertains himself with talking book tapes he gets from the Sarah Hightower Library in Rome, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
They get free talking tapes and a free tape player, and he enjoys that real well. He has a CB radio, and friends he can talk to on CB radio, and a scanner he listens to sometimes.
Hear all the crimes going on.
Yeah, hear all the crimes going on. But when he first got sick, he had lots of friends that visited, lots of people from church, lots of people. But as time goes on, he doesn't have that many visitors. They don't come after the first year or two. even his best friends, which he had really been close to and visited 2 or 3 times a week. He may hear from one of them twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts him worse than anything, because his friends don't come to see him or don't call him. And it's hard because the disease he has is a slow deteriorating disease. And although his body, he can't walk, the lower part of his body, the nerves have died. and the upper part of his body is beginning to slowly lose use of his arms, and he gets depressed real easy.
It's understandable.
And because he was used to working and doing visiting, and he did visit the sick lot. He did do, and he gets depressed about that. And I get depressed because I have to stay at home all the time, and I like to go. It's hard to get people, to stay with him because somebody has to be with him 24 mm-hmm. hours a day. You can't leave him alone to even go to the grocery store.
Somebody
has to be here 24 hours a day.